Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Gregoire Today. I'm Bob Gregoire, and as always, I'm bringing you the world's most fascinating people as we journey toward unity consciousness and the fulfillment of our mind-body-spirit connection and consider how faith transforms our lives. We continually explore our faith in God or a spiritual source, faith in yourself as a wise source of self-direction, and the faith that you can become a person who lives the life you desire and deserve. We cover a range of uplifting and sometimes mysterious topics, and today is no exception. Our guest today is Brigitte Dove. Brigitte has a new book, Laughter, Tears, Silence, Expressive Meditations to Calm Your Mind and Open Your Heart. Brigitte's life began in a chaotic household with a mother who was much later diagnosed with mental health issues. Somehow, Brigitte was able to see the pure and joyful parts of life, a graceful tree in the neighbor's yard wafting in the breeze. She had a knowing that life beyond her family of origin would be more of her making. A real awakening occurred when she had her own son and began to question what family life had the potential to be. Brigitte has invested herself in the practice of meditation and made it a practical tool in our desire to live in a more celebratory, joyful, and peaceful manner. She trained extensively as a meditation master and spiritual teacher at the Osho Multiversity in India. We are delighted to bring you this meditation master who focuses on happiness. Brigitte, welcome.
Thank you so much, Bob. I'm delighted to be here.
Thank you. I mentioned your mom. You described your childhood as chaotic, particularly with your mother, who was verbally abusive and appeared to terrorize the family. Would your gravitation toward meditation come as an antidote to your childhood?
Absolutely. Because I had such a chaotic childhood and was surrounded by craziness, I decided that when I was very, very small that I wanted to seek calm and peace and happiness, because I had this innate belief that life could be that way. And I've proved to be right. I didn't know how at that small age. I just knew that as soon as I was old enough, I was going to try and find how that was possible.
It's so cool that you had that feeling wherever it was, whether it was in the belly and the heart and the soul, where it was. What was the bridge, Brigitte, from childhood to finding the answer? How did you get there?
Well, one thing I think is important, I set the intention.
Okay.
I was quite determined to find the answer. It was my focus, because as a result of my childhood, I had a lot of pain and fear and anger stuffed down inside of me, and I knew that wasn't good, and I knew that I had to find a way to heal all of that. So I focused on it, and I tried various things like yoga and sitting meditation, but they didn't really work for me because I had so much inner turmoil, and I couldn't sit still. And I went on searching, and that's when I found a lot of these expressive meditation techniques, many of which were created by Osho. And the laughter meditation in particular helped me, because I didn't have much laughter in my childhood. And to be given permission in this technique to just laugh, you know, for the sake of laughing, and laughter releases a tremendous amount of stress from the body and the mind and the soul. And so that was one of the important meditations that helped me with a bridge, as you asked. To finding the inner peace and the inner calm.
With the yoga you did, was it spiritual yoga or was it more body yoga?
It was more body yoga.
Okay.
Yes.
Because, my wife's a yoga teacher. There's very little spirituality in her particular practice where she does it. So, you know, when we think of meditation, I've only been meditating a little bit over a year, and I thought, pretty much up until finishing your book this week, that meditation really was sitting in lotus position, silencing the mind and keeping quiet. But just even the name of your book, Laughter, Tears, Silence, and you just focused on laughter, it's anything but just sitting in a yoga position, right?
Yes, exactly. I mean, meditation is awareness. And The important thing is that that means, awareness means being fully present in the present moment. And meditation is not a technique. Meditation is not the sitting in silence. That sitting in silence is one technique.
Right.
But rather the techniques are there to serve as a bridge. So meditation is where we arrive, our destination, and the techniques are how we get there, our vehicle of choice. And there's over 100 techniques in my book, and there's many more, too. And so, you know, any activity can be a meditation. Taking out the trash, cleaning the kitchen floor, cleaning your teeth. If you do it with awareness, you can make it, then it becomes a meditation. But if you're taking out the trash and your mind somewhere else, then no, and then it's not. And a great example I like to use is taking a shower because most people take a shower in the morning or the evening.
Right.
And you can be fully present with the shower, enjoying the hot water on your body and maybe even singing in the shower. Or you can be in the shower but thinking about the day ahead. And then you're not really present with the activity of taking the shower. And at every moment we have a choice. That's the beauty of it. At every moment, we have a choice to be fully present or not. And when we are, we can bring that quality of meditation to whatever we're doing, like our conversation right now.
I love the laughter piece. I grew up listening to George Carlin and Rich Little, and I idolized those guys. And you know what? The Three Stooges, too. Just this weekend, my 16-year-old daughter found on one of the 500 TV stations the Three Stooges, and she brought me back 30, 35 years. And she and I, Brigitte, we sat, she and I, 10 minutes and just laughed. Ah! And I was halfway through your book and light dawned on my marble head how wonderful laughter is.
Yes.
So how do we intentionally now make laughter meditative? What do we do? How do we incorporate this?
Well, intentionally, as I say, the first thing is to make a decision to bring more laughter into your life.
Okay.
So as you did with your daughter, you watch funny movies, you can read joke books. Just looking always for an excuse to laugh at something. Not laughing at people, but just a natural laughter.
Right.
Because laughter is good for us. And laughter is a meditation because you can't think and laugh at the same time. When you're in those split seconds of total laughter, you are just there in the present moment. All your problems disappear. There's no past or future. You are just there in the present. Yes?
Absolutely, yes.
Yes, and that's the quality of meditation.
One of the stats, and the book is genuinely phenomenal because you've made everything meditation because you're causing us to think about being present. One of the stats, children laugh an average of 300 to 350 times a day and adults only 10 to 15 times a day.
Yes.
What happened to us?
I know. How come we became so serious? Well, that's our culture. I mean, children are allowed to laugh and to play and to cry and so on, but somehow we think when we become grown-ups, we're not supposed to do those things anymore or not so much. Somehow we're taught that life is very serious, or as some people I was taught, life is difficult and a struggle, and it, you know, it's something that you get through sort of thing. And what I found through doing all these expressive techniques, and particularly the laughter, was I refound my inner child who loves to laugh and to play and have fun. And I gave myself permission through these techniques to bring that back into my life. And I enjoy my work. I enjoy my playtime. I enjoy everything I do because I bring that quality of enjoyment to it. And if it's something I'm not so keen on doing, like doing my taxes or something like that,
right?
Then I just say to myself, okay, this can be easy and fun. Easy and fun are my little mantra words, and I say, okay, doing the taxes is going to be easy and fun, and then it is. Somehow
that's
it
my
is.
Word. How can you use that? Easy, simple. Those are my words. Yeah. I love that though. Would you help me genuinely with this? You were brought up to believe beliefs. Beliefs are in the head, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Belief that life was a struggle. So we've got beliefs in the head or the mind. We've got this thing called soul. You refer in your book a lot to the heart. Mm. And I don't know, I mean this, I do not know what I don't know. I don't know about the heart because I think of the heart as an organ, but so many of us refer to it as the place where love and passion and compassion are. So can you help me distinguish between soul, spirit, heart, and the brain? How many hours do I need?
Well, I mean, think of somebody that you love. You know, like your daughter, your wife.
Right. Right.
Yes?
Yes.
And you just take a moment and feel, where is that feeling that you feel when you imagine your daughter or your wife, or both of them? And feel where it is. And it's in your heart, in your chest, in your heart area.
Okay.
That's where love resides.
And thank you.
Love has no logic to it, so it doesn't come from the head. It's like, you know, activities. What do you love to do? Just for fun, not work or anything, but...
Play the piano.
Okay, there you go. So, you know, there's maybe no logical reason why you would love to play the piano, but you just do. Yeah?
Absolutely, yes.
So that's coming from your heart. Because from the heart, not only is love coming from the heart, but creativity comes from the heart, and joy, and trust, and all these wonderful feelings, they come from the heart. The heart is the most incredible source of wisdom, of joy, of love, of trust, as also courage comes from the heart. So, it's a huge benefit to tune into your heart. And maybe next time, you know, when you play the piano, when you feel the joy that brings you, feel where it is in your body. You could just stop for a moment perhaps and close your eyes. And I'll bet you'll find it's in your chest area or in your heart.
Even when you said it, right at the beginning when you talked about my daughter and my wife, when you caused me to be present and think about it, I felt it. I felt it right in the center.
Yes.
So I'm trying to piece all this together, and you're doing a good job helping me. We're about to take a breath. I want to remind you we're here with Pragito Dove, the author of the new book, Laughter, Tears, Silence, Expressive Meditations to Calm Your Mind and Open Your Heart. To learn more about Pragito, her books, and resources, please visit www.discovermeditation.com. You may also sign up for her Laughter Meditation 101 teletraining that she's giving on September 23rd. Now let's all take a laughter-filled breath. Thank you. And with that pause, you're back with me, Bob Gregoire, on the Gregoire Today Show. Our guest is Pragito Dove, the author of a new book, Laughter, Tears, Silence, Expressive Meditations to Calm Your Mind and Open Your Heart. We talked about childhood. We talked about the bridge, Pragito, over to meditation and your search, and yoga didn't work and other things didn't work. Were you brought up of a faith of any kind, or was a faith part of the transition at all?
Yes, I was brought up as a Christian, and so I had that feeling of God and of some belief in a higher power, and I used to pray to God. But I, you know, you mentioned the poplar trees in my neighbor's backyard.
Yes,
I mentioned in the book.
Right.
There was something about those trees dancing in the sun and the wind that struck me and just gave me this feeling that it was the trees in the sky, that there was something of great joy out there. And I think it was a combination of the faith I was raised in and the belief in God and a higher power and those trees in the sky that opened my mind up and opened my heart up, that there must be something better out there than what I was being taught in my home with all this misery and anger and fear.
That is such a huge disconnect.
Yes.
And I just see it. I hear it every single day that people are brought up a faith, and it doesn't matter which. But you just happen to say Christian. But then the Christian value, if I had to describe Christianity in one word, it's L-O-V-E, it's love.
Yes.
But you didn't grow up, so there's a disconnect. We go to church or temple or synagogue and we think love, and then we go home and we get mentally, verbally abused. It's
right.
So sad.
Yes, there was a disconnect. And also actually my parents were Christian, and then they sent me to a Catholic school, which I know is also Christian.
Right.
So I also had this funny sort of, I didn't understand the Catholic school. They taught us that if you weren't Catholic, you were going to hell. And I didn't understand that when it seemed there was for very nice people I knew who were not Catholic. So it was all very confusing. Also to be raised a little bit in two religions. And the important thing, as you say, is the love. It's the love that's the most important thing. And when that is there, it doesn't matter what religion people are or if they don't have a religion. And my experience of meditation is that meditation and love are inextricably intertwined. The path of meditation can lead to love, and the path of love can lead to meditation. They're like two sides of the same coin.
One very important thing. I can hear you well. My producer has told me that to ask you to please speak up, because everything you're saying is beautiful, but I guess everybody can't hear it as well. Please.
Okay. I will speak up. Is that better?
I was okay, but I'll let you know if it's not. Thank you. So meditation, I was going to ask you, is spirituality required in order to meditate? But you just answered me, and the answer is no, because meditation, I could start with meditation, and that would lead me to love, which is the foundation of many faiths. Or I could start with love, and that might lead me towards meditation because they're intertwined. Did I get that right?
You absolutely did, and the reason they're intertwined is that, you know, meditation being about awareness, and meditation brings a self-love, because when we are paying attention, when we are bringing awareness to our activities, to our behaviors, then naturally we will behave in a loving manner towards ourselves and towards others. I mean, why wouldn't we? The only reason we are not behaving in a loving manner sometimes is out of unconsciousness, some old programming. But as soon as we bring awareness to a situation, we would not deliberately hurt or harm anybody or ourselves. And that's a great connection between awareness, which is meditation, and love. And of course, the more we love ourselves, the more we can love others. The more compassion we have for ourselves, the more compassion we can have for others.
For those of us who don't love ourselves as well, what do you suggest? Where do we start? What do we do? Because many of us weren't brought up to love from the inside out. We were brought to get love from others. I'm looking for a girlfriend because I don't love me, so I need somebody to love me. How do we start this internal love, Brigida?
Right. Well, that's a great question, and actually that's a process that I went through, because I was taught that you get love out there, you know.
Right.
And it was through starting to laugh more, to have more fun, to have more joyful experiences in my life, started to give me more a sense of myself and who I was, and my creativity started to emerge. The things that I love to do started to emerge, and that all helped me love myself more and recognize that I really was a very lovable person, even though I'd learned the contrary as a child. And so I would suggest that, you know, to start with, a great way is to focus doing things that you love, like for you playing the piano is an example.
Right.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
And the more we do things we love, and like go to concerts of people you enjoy, or go to art galleries if that's what you love, play tennis if that's what you love, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It helps to bring you a sense of yourself and of inner joy and passion and your creativity, and this is a great way to start loving yourself. Write a list of everything you love to do, your favorite activities, you know, and then go and do them.
Great suggestions. Write the list. Do them. There's more language that I know our audience will gravitate towards. You write about need love, N-E-E-D, versus gift love. What's the difference, and why is that important?
Well, need love is when we love out of need. And that's, as you probably know, that's not a very good way, being needy and going out and grabbing. And,
gimme.
Yes, and being desperate to get love,
right,
because we think it has to come from somebody else. And the best way to turn that around is actually what I just described. I mean, certainly start a practice of meditation, and the laughter meditation is one of the easiest ways to get into meditation, and start doing things that you love and focus on yourself. And I know a lot of, especially women, we're taught, oh, that's being selfish.
Right.
But actually, the more you focus on yourself, you start to fill up your own well. So instead of running on empty and trying to grab from everybody else, focus on filling up your own well, and then other people can have the overflow, which is the gift love. Then you are so overflowing with love, you have plenty to share. And then if you start overgiving, which is a tendency in general of women, you have to remember to come back and fill yourself up. And then you can go out and give more gifts.
All right.
So
I'm sorry,
focusing,
please.
Focusing on ourselves first and then giving.
Put yourself, I'm quoting somebody I know and love now, that would be you, put yourself at the top of your to-do list.
Yes.
And where that was going to lead me to is, I'm not sure how to pronounce it because I learned a lot of new things. The Japanese laughing Buddha. How do I pronounce his name?
Hote.
Thank you.
Hote.
Tell us about Hote, will you please, in his filling of the cup so it runneth over?
I'm sorry, could you just say that again?
Sure. You were just talking about fill ourselves up with love, and he was the master, right, at filling himself up. So that's what I was asking you to tell us about.
Oh, yes, the story of Hote. That's a great story. And Hote was a Japanese mystic in the 16th century of Japan, and he used to walk from village to village with a sack full of candy over his shoulder for the children, and all he did was laugh. And the villagers would come to listen, and they had all these questions about enlightenment, and all he did was roar with laughter. I mean, his laughter is so contagious and infectious. They all just started laughing because you know how that is. You just can't stop.
I do.
This was his way of teaching enlightenment. And then one day, he was sitting under a tree with his eyes closed, and the villagers came, and they said to him, Hote, what are you doing? You're not laughing. You're sitting silently with your eyes closed. And he said, yes, because I have to take time to recharge and replenish and go inside. And this is what I'm doing, sitting under the tree. And then I fill up, and then I can go out again, go to the villages, and give my gift of laughter to everybody. So that is what he taught. And the laughter meditation that I teach, I actually modeled on that story of Hote. So the first stage, we laugh, which is a very extrovert activity, which we're sharing with others. And the second stage, we close our eyes and we sit down in silence. So, for example, Bob, you said that, you know, you had just been sitting in silence in the lotus posture for your meditation.
Yes.
You can still do that, and if you want to, you can add some laughing first.
That'll be easy.
So then you roar with laughter and then sit in silence. And then you find it's easier. It's also more fun.
And the laughter does many things, but it helps us to relax the body, which is something we have a hard time with, right?
Yes, laughter is very, very good for releasing stress from the body. And there's a lot of scientific studies now which support this. And it's becoming more and more agreed upon by the scientific community that is extremely beneficial for our health to laugh. For whatever reason, you don't have to have a reason, but just to laugh more is a physical activity for the body.
I spend a lot of time with corporations. I know you do too, and your practice and presentations include leading companies through laughing meditations. What kind of companies ask you to come in? Because the companies that I see, they're pretty serious. What type of companies, and what do they want the result to be?
Well, what the result they want is relaxation, less stress for their staff, and more creativity and happiness and joy. Because happy employees, they produce better results, and they're more creative. So that's what they're looking for. And the way I look at it is, a corporation, but a corporation is composed of people. And all people love to laugh, from the top CEOs all the way down. Yes?
Absolutely.
I mean, there might be a few odd exceptions, but I have actually never met any. And as soon as they understand the point or the purpose of the laughter meditation and how it's going to help their employees be more productive and creative and happy and relaxed, they'll have less health problems, so they'll show up at work more. And as soon as they understand the benefits, they're really willing to give it a try.
That's phenomenal. So they're less anxious. Anxious is a nice word. It's part of fear, right?
Yes.
And when we're afraid, we don't take risks. We don't get out of comfort zone, and it really shuts off the creativity, too.
Yes, absolutely. And it's not good for our health because the whole body goes into tension, and it creates dis-ease in the body.
Dis-ease.
And if it's not paid attention to, then that can lead to serious things, illnesses with the body. So, I mean, it's definitely for your health, if nothing else.
When they bring you in, is it HR bringing you in to hopefully increase health, to reduce health premiums, or is it for the stress, or is it both?
It's both.
Okay.
Yes, because, I mean, laughter has so many dimensions of benefits. It's quite extraordinary. I didn't realize until I started going into it, which is why I have a third of my book is about the benefits of laughter and the different dimensions of laughter. It's got an incredible amount of benefits. Such a simple thing that we can all do, and it's free.
That's it. You talk about laughter first, as you said, and then you ease us into tears. What's the relationship between the two?
Well, great. That's a great question, Bob. They are two sides of the same energy. The laughter is the comedy of life, and the tears is the tragedy of life. And, you know, at the beginning, my editors didn't want me to write about the tears. And I said, well, I feel compelled to write about tears because life is not just about laughing and having everything be fantastic. Life contains death. It contains tragedies and pain. And I have learned meditations which help to heal the pain and help us to deal with these more difficult situations, the tragedy of life and death itself. And they're very, very powerful because grief has a spiritual dimension. Laughter has a spiritual dimension. Tears have a spiritual dimension. And one of the most important things about tears and crying, like the laughter, is it's a great stress release. Because we have tear ducts, and when we are supposed to cry, you know, physiologically, and tears is like a cleansing. You know, it cleanses the eyes physically. It cleanses the heart and the soul. And usually people say they feel much better after they've had a good cry. Yes, because it helps to heal the heart and heal the pain. Because the worst thing we can do is shut it all down and get hard and bitter. That's the worst thing. What we want to do, and I know this can be a bit challenging, but I've done it myself, is to sit with the pain with the meditations for grief and allow it and accept it, and then it will heal. Because that is when we allow love in, because it's love that heals.
We're about to take a breath, and I want to remind you we're here with Pragito Dove, the author of a new book, Laughter, Tears, Silence, Expressive Meditations to Calm Your Mind and Open Your Heart. To learn more about Pragito, her books, and resources, please visit www.discovermeditation.com. You may also sign up for her Laughter Meditation 101 teletraining that she's giving on September 23rd. Now let's all take another laughter-filled breath. Hey, that's good. Thank you. And with that pause, you're back with me, Bob Gregoire, on the Gregoire Today Show. Our guest is Pragito Dove, the author of the new book, Laughter, Tears, Silence, Expressive Meditations to Calm Your Mind and Open Your Heart. Prior to the break, we transitioned a little bit from laughter over to tears, and you talked about the relationship between the two. One of the things you said was life, death, and there's a quote in the book where you talk about them being one and the same. Would you tell us some more about that, please?
Could you just say that in? I talk about what?
Life and death as being one and the same.
Yes.
Yes. And most people, right, most of us are afraid of death. So
yes.
How are they the same, and why are we afraid of death?
Well, the interesting thing is that fear lives in the mind. And the mind has a tendency to run off into the future or go back into the past.
Right.
And the reason people get afraid of death is they're running off into the future where death is not present for them. It's just somewhere in the future. And then the mind conjures up all these negative thoughts about it. But the truth is, if we stay in the present moment, it is much easier to face death. But that's when death is there, when it's imminent, then we can face it. And sometimes the fear of death is not so much actually the fear of death, but the fear of life. Because maybe we're afraid that we're not really living a full life. And if a person is not living a full life, you know that you're not. You know that you've made compromises to settle to keep yourself in a box. Because if you're a person that is living a full life and going for your dreams and enjoying each moment on a daily basis, then the fear of death disappears because it's not yet here. And then when it does come, you are ready for it because you feel you've led a fulfilling, happy life, and that you've fulfilled everything you wanted to do, and now you're ready for the next step.
Cool.
Which is leaving the body.
All right.
So death is very, very connected to life, and what I always say to people is, don't worry about death. Focus on life and enjoying your life and fulfilling your potential and fulfilling your dreams. And all the things you love to do, write a list of your dreams, and then do them. Yes?
Absolutely, yes.
Because death can come at any moment.
Yes. We're on fear, and you just brought me over to judgment, too. You tell us about judgment, and there are two things that can cause judgment, right? Why is it so difficult for us to accept ourselves the way we are, right? There are two good ones, and one just tied in with what you were saying. Why? Why is it so difficult for us to love ourselves and accept ourselves the way we are? We judge ourselves and then we judge others. There's the question.
Yes.
Why?
Well, the reason is, there's two reasons. One is it could be the way you were raised. So, for example, the way I was raised was what I learned particularly from my mother, was that I wasn't any good and I wasn't going to amount to anything.
Right.
And I wasn't worth taking any trouble over. So if you've had that kind of programming put into you, that's one thing that makes it difficult, although, as I can prove, you can't overcome that.
Yes.
And the other thing that makes it difficult is the mind, because the judgment lives in the mind, and the judgments tend to be negative. the worst person to judge ourselves is ourselves.
Right.
You know, in general, we all tend to be very self-critical. And this is where the practice of meditation helps, and I can testify to that from my own personal experience. Is one of the techniques in my book is witnessing the mind.
Yes.
And what you can learn to do when you're sitting in silence is simply step back, disidentify, and watch the mind. And my five magic words for the mind are, let the mind pass by. Just let it pass by. There's good thoughts, there's bad thoughts, it doesn't matter. Just let it all pass by. Because when you're sitting in meditation, you don't need the mind. You don't need it.
Right.
You do need it when you want to book a flight and travel somewhere. You need your mind to help you find the best deal on the computer and make judgments about this is a better price than that and so on. Or when you're buying a car, you use the mind and its judgments.
Right.
If this is a better deal than that. Yes?
Absolutely, yes.
So what you learn to do through this practice is when is a good time to use the mind and its judgments, like buying a new car, and when you don't need that because you never need it on yourself. And what you do is you learn to listen to your heart, because the heart never judges. The heart just loves. And the more you can get in touch with your heart, as we described with you earlier.
Yes.
Yes, thinking about your wife and your daughter and feeling the love in your heart. Or when you play the piano, feel the joy in your heart. And make a practice of getting in touch with your heart and feeling the love there and the joy and the peace that live there. That will help you to accept yourself.
That was so good. Thank you.
Thanks.
So I can accept myself as a way to get out of judging myself. I can accept others as a way to stop judging others. Once I accept myself, one of the things I really talk a lot about is this concept of goal setting, right, so that I can create a better self in many ways, spiritually, mm-hmm. mentally, physically, etc. When you share your insight about dropping guilt in your book, right, you ask us to start celebrating. You appear to be downplaying goals a little bit. In fact, one of the quotes is, the greedy, fear-based mind can keep us on a treadmill of constantly striving to achieve goals. We all know that. Once one goal is accomplished, it's on to the next one, and again and again. Later in the book, you talk about the Tao, and you say we can have goals and enjoy the journey. Are goals something for us to be avoided, or should we incorporate them into this joyful life?
Oh, no, certainly have goals. It's fine to have goals.
Okay.
But what we have to watch is the attachment to them, being ruled by them, and as I said, just going from one goal to the next without, like, stopping and smelling the roses.
Oh, that was good. Have goals. Goals are good, but on a daily basis. Stop and smell the roses. Be grateful for where we are. And as you said right at the beginning, meditation is just awareness of the present. So
yes.
Be present and happy and appreciative and grateful for where we are while still keeping a piece or a little part of one eye on the future. Is that right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Because, you know, goals are in the future, which is fine. But we don't want to be living in the future, because sometimes it takes quite a number of steps or quite a number of years to reach a goal. And so we want to be present on the journey. We want to enjoy the journey and appreciate, okay, that happened today and that's a great step towards the goal. I'm not there yet, but today is a great day, you know, and not just sort of put our life on hold until this goal has been achieved, because
right.
Then we're not living our lives as we work towards the goal. So keeping the big picture of the goal and at the same time enjoying the present moment when we haven't yet reached the goal, which is fine.
And that ties back to what you said earlier. Heart is where love is. Gratitude is there. But the mind, you told us, is frequently worrying or afraid of the fear of the future or thinking about the past and judging and beating based upon the past.
Absolutely.
What keeps us present? Is it the mind that keeps us present or is it the heart? I'm back to trying to diagram this for our audience. What keeps me present?
What keeps you present is your awareness. What keeps you present is remembering to be in the present moment.
Right.
The mind lives in the future or the past. And it's either going to be, it's going to be taking you to one or the other.
Okay.
And so, you know, that's why I like laughter or doing something that you enjoy that's fun. And this is why it's so easy for children to be in the present moment. Because children are very easily in touch with that quality of play and of fun and of joy. And they just are there in the present. Yes?
Absolutely. They're never worried.
Right, exactly. And you can try it with just very simple things. Like, you know, when you're doing the dishes or cleaning your teeth. You know, just notice, am I present with cleaning my teeth? Feeling the toothpaste on my gums and so on, and the water? Or am I thinking about what I'm going to do today or what happened last night?
And what you're causing me to think of is I think I'm usually doing one thing and frequently thinking about the next.
Yes, and that's what most people do. And that's
right.
See, the mind is very clever. That's why it's called the monkey mind.
Yes.
It's very, very clever at taking us out of the present moment to somewhere else. And then this practice of awareness, we have to be vigilant and notice with non-judgment and compassion for ourselves. Oh, I just lost it again. I was just off in the future thinking about now back to the present moment, back to cleaning my teeth. Here I am.
Really...
I mean, you can say it, you know, at the beginning, if it helps, you can say, right now I'm cleaning my teeth. I'm cleaning my teeth. I'm turning the tap. The water's running. Yes?
Yes, light just dawned on my beautiful marble head. You know, when trying to start meditating over a year ago, it's the whole practice of trying to silence the mind. Why? Because creativity, God, creation, etc. is in the gap between our thoughts.
Yes.
So you and I have talked about slow the body down, relax the body. Laughter helps us to do that, and that will allow us to stop that monkey mind. But again, the light bulb just went off. How? You're asking me not to just meditate, you know, for 5 minutes or 2 hours a day. You're saying, Bob, stay meditative and aware and present every second you're awake.
There you go. You
I got it. On that beautiful note, we can laugh into our next break. I want to remind everybody we're here with Brigitte Delve, the author of the new book, Laughter, Tears, Silence, Expressive Meditations to Calm Your Mind and Open Your Heart. To learn more about Brigitte, her books and resources, please visit www.discovermeditation.com. You may also sign up for her Laughter Meditation 101 teletraining that she's giving on September 23rd. Now let's all take a laughter-filled breath. You're on. Go, Brigitte. Thank you. And with that pause, you're back with me, Bob Gregoire, on the Gregoire Today Show. Our guest is Brigitte Delve, the author of a new book, Laughter, Tears, Silence, Expressive Meditations to Calm Your Mind and Open Your Heart. We did talk about you're brought up Christian, you went to a Catholic school, and you said something that hit me right between the eyes. My beautiful, darling 16-year-old daughter was an altar server at Catholic Church. She was a lector at Catholic Church. I think she even might have thought about becoming a nun. And then during confirmation classes or something, somebody, and she won't tell me, somebody told her she was going to hell too. So you really just resonated with me on that one. In the book, you assert that God is not found in the scriptures at one point, but that we find God through playfulness. How do you address people, Brigitte, of deep faith, you know, Catholics, Christians, Muslims, Jews, everybody of deep faith, are you telling us to abandon the Bible, the Torah, the Quran?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No, absolutely not, because there's words of wisdom in those texts that are very helpful to people. But what I'm saying is, that's not just it, that joy lives inside us, and God is everywhere, in the trees, in the flowers, in the mountains, in the rivers, in the whole of creation. And we can find that quality of joy, of happiness, of wisdom, of understanding. That's a kind of spiritual quality. I mean, if you've ever been up in the mountains where it's very silent, or in a forest where it's very silent, there's somehow a quality of almost of church there, but a
yes.
feeling of God. Does that make sense?
Big time. From reading every word and loving every word in the book, I thought you were going to go there, but I wanted to ask you, because you and I know love is within the soul. It is the spirit of life that really makes us radiate, and that beautiful piece of us is inside every one of the 6.8 billion people of faith and no faith across the planet. But like you, we weren't all told that growing up.
Exactly.
That love is within, divinity is within, God is within, and every single thing we need is within. So I know, right, that the things you're talking about, meditation has made me a better human. I am more loving and peaceful and compassionate and patient. Patient, it's not even a word, but I'm patient because of it.
Yes, and actually just want to say in that it's the mind that divides people into categories. You know, Muslims, Jews, Christians, and the mind creates divisions, or even divisions of, you know, Arab and American and Spanish or whatever.
Yes.
But the heart does not divide. The heart includes. The heart just loves everybody. The heart doesn't care what religion you are or what nationality you are or what anything. The heart just loves, and that is also meditation. Meditation doesn't care either. What meditation cares about is that you live from your heart, that you live in the present moment, that you are mindful and caring and attentive and loving to yourself and to whoever crosses your path. And it's completely inclusive of every single person on this planet.
Just
that's
like.
What I love about meditation. So everybody can keep their religion, but also be included in everybody else's hearts.
Ah, and the title of your book, Laughter, Tears, Silence. Laughter is universal. I can laugh with a person of a language I don't understand. We can laugh together, whether we're not supposed to be laughing or laughing. It unites. Tears,
exactly.
Whether
it unites.
Right, they're tears of joy or tears of sadness, again, they're universal and they unite. And last thing, silence.
Silence unites
yeah.
as well. They all unite, which is why I love them so much. And all divisions disappear. Even, you know, as you said, with a teenage daughter, and I did this with my teenage son, we could always laugh together. And so, you know, how teenagers can be, but somehow when we found that place of laughter, we were fine.
Speaking of laughter, you and I haven't met yet. Since In Living Color, which was back in the early 80s, I've been told that I look like Jim Carrey. So when reading your book, you say, people who meditate know that there's only one word to say, and the word is yes. One of Jim Carrey's movies was Yes Man. And you say yes to death, yes to life, yes to... Talk to us about yes. Why is it always yes? I love that movie, too.
Yes is a very powerful word. I mean, just to say it. If you
yes.
feel the resonance inside you, and anybody who's listening right now, just say yes.
Yes.
And one of the meditations in my book is yes, yes, yes. Because what happens energetically when you say that is your mind opens to possibility. And it helps to break down all those negative beliefs that might have been instilled in you, like as has happened with me. And it creates a feeling of expansiveness and openness that you are up for whatever life has in store for you. So it's a very powerful word. I mean, also I have to say there are times when we need to say no, because some people say yes too much.
Correct.
It's important to say no, but then that saying no is saying yes to yourself and taking care of yourself.
Have you seen that movie?
Actually,
Jim Carrey, Yes Man?
I have seen trailers of it, yeah.
All right, well, that's just it. His life is miserable, and he goes to this big conference, right, that we think of these motivational things, and the guy on the stage says, the answer is yes. And he tells everybody in the almost congregation-like audience, just say yes. So that's what Jim Carrey does. He just says yes to everything. And your point is, so often we say no. Would you like to try this food? No. Would you like to go out tonight? No. Would you like to read this book? No. Would you like to read about another faith? No.
Right.
And what I learned from you in the book is it's the ego that thrives on the negative, and it's the ego that says no, right?
Yes, and no comes from fear. I actually learned this from my mother, because she said no to everything. You know, can I go out? Can I go to the movie with a friend? Can I go to a party? It was always no. And I realized that it came from fear, a fear of trying new things, you know, not trusting. And also saying yes takes courage. It takes courage to try new things and meet new people and try to learn something new and so on. And we have to trust. And these are all good things, because they help to open our heart more. And they help bring us more love. So yes helps bring us more love to ourselves, and then we attract more love.
Yes. All right. Now, for some tactical stuff, how long do we meditate for? I know we can laugh. I know we can cry. And you've got hundreds in the book of meditation stuff. How long do we meditate for?
Well, it depends. As I have a lot of different suggestions in the book, I have four-minute meditations. So you could, for example, do 2 minutes of laughter and 2 minutes of sitting in silence. Some of the meditations are 1 hour long. If you want to go there, there's a dancing meditation, there's a gibberish meditation. You can do those for an hour. But what I really say is, first of all, it's important to understand, as we've discussed, what meditation is. Meditation is being fully present. It's about the quality of your presence with the moment. And so it's better to do one minute and be
right.
Fully present, then sit there for an hour fidgeting and bored and like, I really don't want to be doing this, then it's not going to work. So it's better to do it for a minute with your full, total attention. So it's very, very flexible. There's no, it should be this or it should be that.
I love that.
It depends on you and your lifestyle and how much you want it, how much you want the results, you know?
I do. We've had people that have been on. There's a lot of talk about meditation. It's positive. You have gone so granular and made it easy, because we can be doing it all the time. As you
yes.
just said, it could be 4 minutes. There's a huge range. But the ideal, I guess, future is that we are present and aware at all times. That's where we're going. So
exactly.
On the other...
So it's the quality that's always there in your life, whatever you're doing. Then you are always living your life in a meditative way.
Yes. One of the things that just brought a smile to my face is you said the word gibberish, and I know. What's gibberish meditation?
Oh, that's a lot of fun. that's created by the Sufi mystic Jabbar. That's where the word gibberish comes from. And it's got two stages. The first stage is gibberish, and you just talk in gibberish, a lot of nonsense and sounds, and you shake your hands and your legs, and you get very physical. And the idea of it is to release stress mind, and it's particularly good for releasing anger and frustration. I always recommend it for that. And so it's like taking the lid off the pressure. And then the second stage, you sit in silence. And when you have released all this inner turmoil, then your inner silence can go deeper. And it's a very powerful technique. And that one, again, you can do a minute of gibberish and a minute of silence, or 2 minutes of each, whatever you want to do. And I have CDs to go with these meditations, too.
Yes. and you make it easy for us to get the CDs. And I know that some of them I'm going to have to buy because you have specific types of music for some of the meditation.
Yes.
But the gibberish thing is literally just me trying to speak a language I don't know how to speak. And again, it's back to relaxing the body. I blow steam when I'm in gibberish, right? I get rid of it. Boom.
Yeah.
Which is, got it. So I do that for a minute or two, which leads me to another one. Many of us come home from work, and we are stressed, we're anxious, we've been in traffic, whatever at work, and then we greet our loved ones, not always in the best way. So
right.
You give us another, we can do gibberish on the way home. How about the shaking one? I like that one.
Oh, yes, I love that one, too. The shaking one is great at the end of the day, where, and there's a music soundtrack to this, which I like because it's helpful. But you shake like a rag doll, just shaking out the stress of the day. You can shake gently or you can shake more vigorously, whatever you want to do. The second stage is dancing, any kind of dancing you want to do. The third stage is sitting in silence. And the fourth stage is lying down in silence. And it's fantastic for the end of the day. And if you go home to a spouse, maybe do it together.
That's it, right? I thought meditation was on the cushion alone. I've been doing it in isolation for over a year, and now I know that, like you just said, I can do gibberish with my wife and kids. I can do shaking with my wife and kids. We can send the kids away and just do dancing. So one extreme was 4 minutes. The other extremes that I love is that you talk about an 4-hour evening of silence, and then you even take us to a 24-hour meditation. Tell us about that, please. That is so cool to me. And you can do them both in groups, too.
Yes. Now, this you can do alone or in a group or with your family. But the idea is, like, so if we take the evening of silence of 4 hours, is first of all, we have to unplug everything. There's no phone ringing, no computer or anything. And I say silence, but in the silence, it's okay to laugh. It's okay to talk in gibberish, which is a lot of fun. And the idea is, to do a meditation technique of your choice, if that's what you feel like doing. You might just want to sit on your porch and have your favorite tea and look at the sky. It's really a time to do whatever you feel like doing and relax. And relaxation is no more information going in. Just allow the mind to settle, to sort through all the files of information of the day, and settle down. Allow the body to relax where there's no agenda. There's nothing you have to do. I give suggestions. But it's really a great practice if you can do it, and it's fun to do it with somebody else, to deeply relax, and then you sleep much better, and maybe practice some of these techniques. And then you could also do this for one day. And then it can include preparing food, eating food, and doing the dishes, but you do it in silence and just talk in gibberish if you have to. And you can laugh and do different techniques. And it's a very powerful way to bring the quality of meditation into your life and experiment with it. As I say, I give suggestions, but you can find your own way too.
You and I have had a journey with Birgitte Dove, the author of the new book, Laughter, Tears, Silence, Expressive Meditations to Calm Your Mind and Open Your Heart. Please visit www.discovermeditation.com for more information. You may also sign up for the Laughter Meditation 101 teletraining that's on September 23rd. Birgitte, thank you not only for joining us, but for making meditation part of my life and fun and even a group activity. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I've enjoyed this very much.
You are welcome. Please come back.
I will.
As always on Gregoire Today, we're devoted to making a connection with faith, spiritual practices, and perspectives on the mind, body, spirit. I'm Bob Gregoire, honored to be your guide to a more uplifting, positive, and powerful life during our time together today and hopefully well beyond it. I invite you to join me on my website, bobgregoire.com, for new blog posts, interviews, and other opportunities to increase our connection to each other and everyone with whom we share this precious planet. Again, with a name like Starkist, with a name like Gregoire, I'm going to have to spell it out for you. G-R-E-G-O-I-R-E. That's BobGregoire.com. Please visit the site to discover more about faith, spirituality, and the mind, body, spirit. Let me leave you with an affirmation that you can use today. I am empowered by my faith to find joy and celebration in both the happy and challenging times in life, and continue to bring my deepest desires into reality as I engage in meditation, affirmations, and the practices of my faith every day. Thank you, everyone.